I love to lavish gifts upon my children as my father lavishes gifts upon me.
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, Scott, we need some music, some that goes bum ba ba ba. You know, because today's the first day of Family Man Fix It or Finish It February. And you are like right in the midst of still in demolition December. So the dust is settled and your basement is still a shambles, and what's next? But it's looking dry, looking good.
Well, the dust has not completely settled. The guy told me that it would take up to a month for all the dust to actually completely settle.
You mean because you're going to like find it on your dishes and your
pretty much it's everywhere. Right. I'm dusting constantly, so it's not much fun. But yes, it's dry finally. Though I don't know if they did this or what, but when I went to move the washer back, because I had to move the washer and dryer out of the way, when I went to move it back and then start to use it again, it started shooting water out one of the hoses. And so I'm like tweaking it and turning it, trying to adjust it perfectly to get it to stop shooting water out. And
eventually, that's exactly how it works.
I know.
As soon as they walk out, your driveway collapses.
Yeah. Well, then just literally 2 days ago, I was washing a dish in the kitchen sink upstairs, and I dumped out the water from this. It was this big bowl. I dumped the water out, and then I, for some reason, right then, I opened the cabinet under the sink, and to my horror, found a hole in the drain pipe there, and water just shooting out of it. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, sweet. So I stuck my finger on it to stop the water from coming out the hole, and the hole proceeded to just get bigger. Because the
really? Wow.
Was a metal piece of pipe that had rusted completely.
This is like the little boy in Holland who put his finger in the dike.
Yes. And so I had to deal with that.
Was it like one of those like Three Stooges movies where he sticks his finger here and then he's over here and then he's, you know, sticks quite. His nose in it and it's like, it just follows, it keeps going.
It just feels like that. It wasn't quite like that.
But you're feeling, are you feeling good or are you feeling overwhelmed?
At the moment, there's kind of this sort of like pause in the storm, you know, or like a ceasefire in the war. I don't know. It's at a stopping point. Things are dry. That's good. And we've had some more rain and stuff, and nothing's coming in. That's great. And we had a guy come out and do an estimate for what it would be to do the finishing part, because we figured out that that's probably going to take me forever if I try and do it myself. But I might help him. I don't know. Anyway, it may still end up being me doing it, or we may just
leave
it, or I don't know what. But
so does that overwhelm you? Like,
oh,
so totally. Now that you've gotten through that part, is your wife starting to go, so are you going to be starting on that, you know, finish doing the whatever now?
No, she's, I think we're both.
She knows you well enough.
Yeah.
Huh?
I think she was amazed. Let's put it this way. She was really happy and amazed that I could fix the sink, because and that took me 4 trips to Lowe's to make sure I had all the right parts. And I mean, it was not a big plumbing job, but I managed it.
Right.
So yeah, when we're looking at the whole basement, especially when, you know, the guy who came in to look at it, who does this for a living, was like, yeah, I don't usually do the drywall part because I can do it, but I'm slow at it and I'm not, you know, and it still doesn't look as good as the guy who's like slaps it up there and does it real fast.
Right.
That's all he does. So I just hire that guy. And I'm like, yeah, this is probably more detail than anybody wants, but it's not going to be a standard framing job either, because there's these steel I-beams in various,
you have to work around.
Yeah. That are, none of them are measured like every 18 inches or anything. They're all just wherever they needed to be. So building custom frames to go inside each one of those, and I don't know. It's just a way bigger job than I think I can handle.
Yep, I get it.
I may be having to try and handle it, depending on what this estimate comes back.
That's right. So. Yeah, it's going to be some like guy with a piece of straw sticking out of his mouth, and he goes, "So you ready for the final tab? You know, or the tally?"
Yeah. Yeah, and the part that really depresses me and makes me overwhelmed is when I look at the basement and I'm like, I could spend, you know, $100,000 on this basement and it would still be sitting underneath this house with this. Yeah,
that's the thing. You get it done and you go, oh, look, it looks just like it did before.
Right. So
I know. So it's not a real glamorous way to spend a lot of time or money. I get it.
Exactly.
I get it. But that's a great segue into Family Man Fix It or Finish It February, because, you know, Dad, we've kind of set aside this, or I've set aside this month for the last, I don't know how many years, maybe 8, 9, 10 years using it, because it's kind of a slower time. I know my schedule's kind of slow during February, a slower time that you can kind of get some of those things done that have been staring at you for the last decade or so. You know, they're the kind of things that your wife says, I'd really like this done. And I think it's so awesome because I get letters from you dads during this time each year that said, you know, I was going to do this and I just put it off and put it off and put it off. And I finally stared it in the eye and I did it. Even my son the last 2 weekends, he has a big fluorescent light sitting in the middle of his kitchen ceiling. And he's been wanting, or they've been wanting to do canned recess lighting. And he bought the cans almost the first year they moved in. So 7 years ago. And he had them all in and working the first night that he started working on it. He was like, I can't believe it that it's been this easy. And he got it all done and it's all painted and it's done. And he's still, even last night, he was saying, wow, it was just, I thought it was such a big deal and it turned out to not be such a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I've done some of those, you know, things. I remember last year, my thing was our Lazy Susan turnaround, you know, those corner cabinet things.
Yep.
And ours was wobbly and scraping. And no, I was like not looking forward to it. I thought it's just going to be a pain because they don't go together easily. And no kidding, in 15 minutes, I was done that it was that easy to fix. And it's still working good. So, you know, it's kind of doing those things that, and usually your wife is the indicator of what needs to be done. It's usually not like the things that you want done. It's usually the things that she's been asking you to do or maybe hinting at and go, you know, it's that kind of thing where she goes, this switch never works. I wish I could turn it on and it would work. And, you know, the point of it is not to be Mr. Handyman, but just to make your family feel cared for. Because as, you know, I'm learning, that means a lot. And to the husband who kind of lets things go, they don't feel very cared for. And again, if your wife doesn't care, then consider yourself blessed and lucky. And maybe you're not a handy guy, you know, like Scott, he didn't tackle his basement by himself. I don't know who would tackle their basement by themselves like that. But, you know, he bit the bullet. He paid for it and had some people come in. It counts exactly the same. You know, my wife doesn't care if I change the oil myself or I have somebody else change it. She just wants to change. So here's my little list. And it looks bigger than I was anticipating. I need to repaint the living room. Because we like touched up and it's got like, even we touched up, couple years ago with the same paint, but it's slightly different. And we bought the paint either last year or the year before. I was thinking it was a COVID project and it's been sitting there for 2 years. So I need to do that. We just got a trash compactor because our recycling in our entire county has been shut down. They're not doing it anymore. And like, I got all this trash. And so we got this free trash compactor. It was in somebody's house and they said, you know, we just never use it. And it was $1,600 new. And so we got it for free. They just gave it away.
Sweet.
I got to put a simple project. I put a lock on the bathroom door, but it's already been 2 months without a lock on the bathroom door. I'm trying to think what else I have. I have a switch that I need to work on and replace, which is no big deal. But maybe it's even just cleaning out the garage or cleaning out the basement. You know, that maybe your wife said, you know, I can hardly get down there anymore. It's all that trash everywhere and got all that stuff. Maybe you just need to spend some time going through it, reorganizing, but do it again to show your family that you're protecting them. And again, use this month as the motivator to get her done. So Scott, I'm not even going to ask you, like, do you have some things you're going to work on? Because you have a couple years worth, maybe a decade's worth. Staring you in the face.
And even in normal Februarys, I dread this month because February just seems like it lasts forever. And this was before I even met you. I dreaded February. And now I doubly dread it, and it's all your fault. So,
yeah, you can hear it, can't you? As soon as you hear the word February. And, oh, we got that in February. You can hear it. You can hear Family Man fix it or finish it attached to it. Like,
yes. And I feel like February came roaring in on like January 8th this year. Like we put the Christmas tree away and it's like, hello, I'm here. I'm February.
I know it.
And you're
I cannot believe it. It goes so, so fast. But here's what we're going to talk about today, Scott. And I need you to put your thinking cap on because the dad asked me this question. I thought, you know, this might be a good discussion question, not just for older children, because he's saying, here's the question. Should we help our children financially even when they're older? I think, you know, his thought was, you know, I'm going to make up part of this, you know, that my son or daughter is that maybe either out on their own or they should be out on their own. And, you know, is it okay to help them out financially?
You want to take a whack at that first or you want me to?
No. Well, we're going to talk about that.
All right.
But how about before we answer that, how about we take it back in time and we say, you know, how much do we pay for our kids? Because it's easier when they're at home and they're younger and they want to go, I don't know, they want to go bowling with their friends or they want to go do something. I know some dads who are hard-lined, you know, and they make them do all those things with their own money. If you want to go, you have to pay for it. You know, you can earn the money either through us or through some other means, selling guns or drugs, but you got to pay for it. How about I'll let you take a whack at that one, Scott? And this is kind of a personal experience as of right now. You know, and I know you look at it from lots of angles, because I know even as the question was asked, the question is basically with the thinking that I want my child to be self-sufficient. I don't want them to be a bum. I don't want to enable them. And that was why they asked the question. I think the question can still, that same thinking can still be when our children are little. You know, when they're 4 and 5, you know, we don't want them to be self-entitled. We don't want them to be bums. We don't want them to think that, you know, somebody's going to come after me and buy everything I want. So maybe I should ask Scott, how do you handle that?
It was easier if it was just a, how should you handle it? How do I handle it? I don't want
to. Good point. Okay. I'll go with that. How should you? Because you're right. It is easier to know how you should handle it. That's actually a great distinction.
You know, it's funny. I'm not sure. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. I just don't like telling all the details of my... I tell enough details of my...
Of your horrid life.
All my failures and such. I actually have been thinking, not necessarily about this particular issue lately, but for some reason, the prodigal son has been coming up in my mind a lot in recent years. Maybe it's because I have a son who's off at college now. And
he wants his inheritance now?
No, but he's, you know, it's the college stuff. There's temptations and whatever, even though he's going to a conservative Christian college where they have lots of rules. And I think that is part of it too, is like, okay, how much do the rules shape things here? And anyway, the prodigal son bit, I just keep thinking like, which son do you want to have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one who followed all the rules and did everything right didn't work out so well for him. And the other kid who wasted it all, and, you know, like, I mean, that kid got to go into the kingdom. He got to go into the party.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to have a son where you're like, man, on the one hand, I don't want him to go out, you know, sleeping around, drinking, doing drugs, whatever. But I want him to experience the mercy of God. I don't want him to be, you know, self-righteous know-it-all who can't receive God's mercy because he's just too proud. So I apply that how you will. I don't know, with little kids and stuff. I say, I err probably on the side of, like, you know, God is a God of abundance. When Jesus was asked by his mother to provide wine for the wedding, he was like, why are you coming to me? It's not my time yet. But then he gave them hundreds of gallons of the best wine ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, God is a God of abundance, and he likes to lavish his children with great gifts. And that's how I try and look at it.
I think that was a great answer. Was a good answer, Scott. So that said, you wouldn't, of course you wouldn't willingly. I mean, if your kid said, hey dad, I need some drug money, you know, you're not, I know, I'm not even like entertaining like that. Cause I know that's not true.
Right.
But you know, we all know kids that we would use the word spoiled, maybe. I guess, you know, when I look at it, sometimes looking at younger kids, what I don't like is I don't like the entitled kind of mentality, you know, or that I need to do this because I think everybody else does this. And I want my kids to have some skin in the game and to know that things have some value. And sometimes I determine, you know, by just giving them all they want, I'm not helping them out in the future, because I do, you know, I am doing it. I hope I'm doing it for them. You know, my wife came from the dad that you talked about, Scott, just then, you know, the one who, when she had her eye on something, you know, he always went back in the store and he bought it, you know, and almost didn't matter how much it cost. He wasn't doing it to earn her love or anything like that. Now, my wife is not like that. She is more frugal than I am, but she is generous. And, you know, I want to be that generous dad too. And we've talked about this in the past. We don't do allowances. In fact, I travel around, speak a lot. We go to homeschool conventions and churches. I was just at a church and a family discipleship weekend this past weekend. And, you know, when my children have gone with me, I know lots of other people, they pay their kids big bucks. You know, they pay them $10 an hour when the minimum wage wasn't $10 an hour. You know, if you ask my kids, how much did your dad pay you? Most of them wouldn't say, my dad didn't pay us. Because I wanted them to know that we were on a team, you know, and even my older, my younger kids are now like, I'll go with you, dad. What are you going to pay me? And my older kids are like, dad, you shouldn't have to pay them. You know, at the same time, we always made sure that they were rewarded for being part of the team. Rewards, maybe not the right word, but they are part of the team. So when they needed something, you know, because they're a contributor, we tried to do it. We couldn't always do it. And we're struggling in some of those areas. You know, I have a son who's a sneakerhead, which that's a thing now, you know, and their sneakerheadness. I can remember when, and if my parents are listening, which they sometimes do, I can remember the very first time I bought a pair of tennis shoes for $32. And I was like, my dad's going to kill me. He's going to think I spent, you know, so much. You know, and now they're talking $200 or $300 for a pair of shoes. And, you know, it's hard for me. It's really hard for me. Plus, especially when you think, well, you've already got three other pair. Why do you need another pair? Well, these only cost $47 or $87. I'm like, $87? You know how much gas that would buy or whatever. So it's a struggle. And like you said, Scott, I think that is true. It's easier to say what you'd like to do than it is what you actually do. But I do, I hate the word balance. I honestly hate that word, because balance always feels to me like you don't do truth. You just kind of get close to either way. So you don't go over it or under it. But I'm trying to do both at the same time, maybe. I want to be generous. And yet I want my younger children to know that there is value in dollars and that sometimes it's not just okay. It's even good to have to wait for something that you have to save up and buy it yourself. And at the same time, it's like, on the other hand, you know, I know some kids who have forgone everything so that they can save up their money for college, which is a fine thing. But they've missed out on some things along the way, you know, that you may or may not be able to get, you know, ever again. So we kind of struggle on that. Let's answer the question now. So should I help my older children financially? And I think, Scott, your answer was right. I think your answer is clearer than. I know that as a dad, I love not just helping them. I love to lavish gifts upon my children as my father lavishes gifts upon me, Heavenly Father. My dad does too. You know, if you bought a To Bethlehem game this year, you know, all those cards that came in it, my dad printed them. It was the last run. My dad hasn't charged me for those. And that's a lot of money, but he just does it. And he does it happily, cheerfully. He doesn't, you know, expect anything in return. And I remember when our kids were little, we would go to Ponderosa. My dad liked Ponderosa. And Ponderosa was just about as expensive as you could go for our family, you know, besides a super fancy restaurant. And we go to Ponderosa and, you know, it would be for everybody, it'd be well over $100. And I'm like, Dad, you don't have to pay, you know, we'll do that. And I can remember him saying, Todd, where do you spend your money? I said, I spend it on my kids. He said, that's where I like to spend mine too. And I thought, you know, it felt like such a wise thing that it wasn't just like his duty. He loved doing it. And I loved doing it for our kids. Sam just bought a new house this past week. So they're super excited. They weren't planning on it yet. And it's right across the street from Catherine's house, Catherine and her husband's house. And it's a great price. Lots of house. We're going to go over and see it tonight. And, you know, my wife was saying, I think yesterday, what can we do for them to encourage them, you know, financially? Can we pay for something? Because, you know, when you have a new house, there are a lot of expenses. And we've done it for all the other kids, you know, whether we helped with paying for the drywall to get done or we paid for all the 2x4s when 2x4s were extremely high. And it's not enabling, you know, it's not like saying, oh, well, then they just didn't learn how to work for it. I don't think that at all. I think it's just a great thing for parents to be able to do for their kids. Because sometimes we can't, right, Scott? I mean, sometimes we don't have the money to do them. We can't help them. And that's okay, too. You know, or maybe we're, you know, they're spending it foolishly and they just bought a Maserati, you know, and now they don't have any money for their water bill. I think that would be a different thing. Maybe I'd still pay it. I don't know. But then I would begin to go, okay, is this the best for them? And really, that's what I was with my dad this just 2 days ago. And that's what he always said. You know, he goes, you have to do what's best for others. And I think that's kind of the heart of all of this. So did you have any other thoughts while I was talking there, Scott?
Yeah, well, I thought as little kids, especially, you know, people are always like, oh, you're going to spoil that child. And I remember somebody in our early parenting days who was a little older and wiser say, you know, how do you spoil something? If you think about a piece of fruit, you don't spoil it by paying too much attention to it. You spoil a piece of fruit by leaving it alone and not doing anything with it. And I think a lot of this goes down to like, okay, we want, as humans, we just want a rule of how to do this, and then we can do that, and it'll all be perfect. And I've heard pastors and such talk about how, like, that's why God doesn't tell us everything right away because we'd just run off and do it and not bother relating to him. He wants the relationship. And so he doesn't give us his entire will for our next 10 years all in one shot. And I think it's the same kind of thing with kids, is like, if you pay attention to them and you're involved with them and you're doing all the good things that a good parent does, then you don't have to worry so much about whether you're going to spoil them or not with gifts, because they understand what love really is. They don't equate gifts with love as a substitute. That's a great point. You know, if your daughter's 20 years old and she equates money with love, that's your fault.
Yeah.
And I know there have been plenty of parents throughout history who have tried to do the money instead of love kind of thing, or money instead of time, or, you know, or then they get resentful about it. You know, I mean, it can get really ugly. This is not an easy issue. So, but I those are my thoughts, and I'm far from perfect on this.
I think those are great thoughts. I mean, this sounds like a Disney answer. Just follow your heart. No. But you know,
it's funny how many of those cliche like things sound really true to me nowadays. I'm like, no,
if the Holy Spirit, which sounds like your heart sometimes, that says, you know, you should take care of that, Dad, then I would do it, you know, and I wouldn't worry about it. And you know, listen to what God says in your heart. I know that, you know, I think you do that forever. I know I can remember when my parents, we would go to my grandmother's. My grandmother had nothing. And my dad was a school teacher at the time, or just starting his print shop. And we'd go there and she would have like a sack, a paper sack, like a grocery sack filled with peanut butter, bread, you know, and some other just simple things. And she would give them to my dad for his family. And it kind of just felt like the simple gift of her providing and wanting to help her children out. And I think that's a pretty cool thing if you can do it. You know, if you can't, then God can make up for all that as well. But I think you're right, Scott. If you're doing it for them to love you, that's probably the wrong reason. If you're doing it because you love them, maybe that's the right reason.
Right on, man.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Dad, I sure appreciate you listening. Maybe take a couple minutes jotting on a scrap piece of paper. Or if you're an engineer, you can put it on a spreadsheet of things that, you know, maybe you could do this month. That, you know, those little things that just your wife would love it if you did it. Maybe it's just cleaning out under the kitchen cabinet, under the sink, you know. Or maybe it's that one dirty spot. Or maybe it's that broken piece of trim on your bedroom window that, you know, would take you $7 and a trip to Lowe's or Menards. Or if you're Scott, 7 trips to Lowe's and Menards. You know, but do it. And do it because you did that.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.